All right, here's a story of a dog getting adopted. First of all, the dog was given up by its owners to a shelter. And you have to guess for the reason why.
He was too wild and they couldn't control him. He was tearing up the house.
Not tearing up the house. But he was engaging in behavior that they didn't like.
Was he humping everything?
They claimed he was a gay dog. And so they got rid of him because they said he was gay.
That's terrible.
Oh, you mean he was blind?
No. It was they perceived this as homosexual behavior rather than just doing whatever. So they gave him up for gay adoption.
Ridiculous.
And he ended up being, and that was the initial story, you know, and everyone had a reaction on that because his owner is giving up a dog because they think it's gay. And then the second story was that the dog ends up getting gay adopted. A gay couple adopts the gay dog. So it becomes a feel-good story. Steve Nichols, a guy from North Carolina, and his longtime partner, John. I guess John doesn't have a last name. We get Steve Nichols and John. They adopted Fezco.
Odd name.
That's a weird name for a dog.
Fezco. And they adopted him, and they renamed him Wild. Oh, no, they renamed Oscar after Oscar Wilde, who was also happened to be gay. And they said, hey, look, the problem was the previous owners. They had not neutered that dog, and he was also kind of, he had heartworms too, so it wouldn't have been well taken care of. And so now Oscar lives with a nice gay family, and he can do whatever he wants to.
Turned out well for Oscar. Yeah.
Yes, and the family. So thank goodness. This is just crazy that someone gives up their dog for that reason.
We used to have a ticket employee that would not have a male dog.
Because he feared balls.
Because he feared being exposed all the time to the male dog's genitalia. And he felt like that made him gay. So weird. He couldn't hug and love on a male dog.
How's he doing? Have we checked in with that former employee lately?
Don't know. He's doing okay, I think.
You keep up?
I see him on Facebook every now and then.
Jared, what's y'all's dog situation now? I know y'all lost one of your longtime beloved pets a few years ago.
We haven't gotten another dog since.
I think that's pretty unusual because this show has all lost dogs and then not gotten a new one.
Yeah.
Now, we did get
a new cat.
Ja, he keeps a stable going of dogs. He usually
has two. No.
That's the lowest number of dogs you've had in how long?
Oh, gosh. 14 years, probably.
So you have Winston Waffles and Whitty.
Not
what's the other
Waffles.
One's name?
Gunner.
Gunner, that's right. Yeah.
Whitty's the cat.
Is that still around?
Whitten. Yeah, both of those cats still around.
You're kidding me.
No,
they're
like 12 years old now.
And they're outdoor cats.
Yeah. Tough, boy. They are
How
tough.
The hell have those and you live out in the boonies.
Yeah.
So there's bobcats and coyotes all around.
The fox.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe those cats are still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Junior, you lost Lucy. And it's been how many years now? And you haven't got a new one?
That was probably 7 years ago.
Yeah, and I lost Jake probably about 7 years ago. And then Jer lost his dog. Hadn't got a new one. I think that's very unusual. It seems like most people replace them within a year.
Sean just lost his dog, too.
Yeah, 2 months ago, and I don't know when we're going to have another one. Like,
that's hard.
Like, when do you say, okay,
that's really tough.
Let's move on.
I think Fernando got a new dog, like, immediately, didn't you, when you guys lost yours?
Within 3 days.
Yeah.
3 days?
And I thank my wife eternally for that.
Yeah, because you love the dog.
The greatest gift she ever gave me.
Wow.
Was that.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a right answer or wrong answer in this.
Yeah, sometimes you're ready, sometimes you're not.
It's whatever. And I think that you may think you're not even ready. It's the same thing as the kid thing. You always think that you're not fully ready, and you never fully are, but then you get the kid or the pet, and you're like, oh, this is great. Love it. But yeah, usually you guys didn't try to do the convince the kids that the new dog was the old dog, did you, Fernando?
They were too old for that.
Yeah, okay. They were too old for that. We raised him a little smarter than that.
Did you ever do the goldfish switcheroo?
No, but somebody told me a story about that recently.
I think we did once.
Did the kid buy it?
We blew it by them because they're like three at the time.
I did do the goldfish switcheroo because I remember I replaced that Javier about 10 times on Junior and he never picked up on it.
Javier was incredible. How long Javier
like
lasted?
10 years that thing lasted. Something crazy.
Yeah, I had a goldfish. It wasn't quite 10 years, but it lasted a good 5, which is really long for a goldfish.
The ones we got for our kids, we hoped for 10 days with those things.
Really?
Like, yeah. I mean, maybe a few months, but...
How'd you get rid of them?
Dispose of the body.
Garbage disposal?
No. No, they didn't wish to be cremated.
I thought that's how you... Well, that's not how you cremate something, garbage disposal.
That's how you cremate a goldfish.
Wait, that's how you burn up a goldfish?
Well, you don't burn them, but I would say they're cremated that way. No, you flush them down the turlet.
Don't call it a turlet.
I dumped Javier's body in a pond near my house because I didn't want...
Some big old catfish came up.
Yeah, what are you doing there?
I wanted him to return to nature, and I didn't want to flush him down the toilet. I had grown too close to him.
To go into the human waste vat?
Yeah. I wanted him to just go back and be recycled by nature.
Snap him in half?
Gosh, every time I thought you were supposed to do the garbage disposal thing. I can't tell you how many hamsters I've stuffed down there.
Oh, my gosh.
Hamsters are some of the cruelest gifts to get kids.
Yeah.
Because they
escape.
Their life expectancy is 2 years. So you're guaranteed to have to go through the life and death cycle with the kids. You know, with dogs, you know, it's like, they'll probably die when the kid's away at college. So we'll be all right. But with the hamster, they're so cute, too. So kids love them. Love watching them. Kids will never clean out the cage, so parents are going to be having to go through that mess.
Not like the dog.
Yeah, how many false promises have been made about taking care of it?
I will clean up. I will clean up after the dog.
And the parent knows the way it's going, and the parent lets the kid get away with that kind of lying during interrogation. I'll clean up, man. I'll do it. I'll take care of the whole thing, man. Come on, just let me get this. Come on, Dad, let me get this dog.
Every time I think of Javier... My goldfish, I think of the girl I was dating at the time. She had one of the funniest lines ever. We'd been dating for 2 or 3 years, and it was kind of falling apart. And we walked in one day, and Javier was not looking too good in the little bowl I kept him in. And she goes, I think Javier's dying, a lot like our love.
Gosh. Wow. Most depressing stories ever.
So his funny line.
His life force was derived from y'all's relationship glow.
Right.
And when that was going, Javier just couldn't make it.
You always thought I tortured him by keeping him in such a small bowl.
Yes.
And I felt bad about it, too, but I never changed it.
He didn't care.
Oh, okay. As long as you felt bad about it. I mean, that shows you have a real heart. But don't lift a finger for the thing. Didn't you have to eventually put a bullet in that thing? You didn't want him to suffer anymore?
Yeah.
So you took him out behind the garage and put a .38 special through his head.
Let me tell you, that was messy. There wasn't much of him left.
You ever had to put down an animal not in a vet's office?
Like not the way you have with a brick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done it with a brick. You've done it with a car. You've done it with a gun.
I haven't done it with a gun.
I love how he doesn't deny car and brick.
No, I can't deny those. Another one was a hatchet.
Oh, my God.
I know it.
So
and that was with a dog, right?
No. No. No, that was with a baby bird.
A baby bird.
Oh, wow, you didn't need a hatchet for that job.
Okay, what else are you going to do, George?
I don't know. Wouldn't blunt force trauma be better from, like, a hammer?
I don't know about better.
Wow.
That actually sounds a little more barbaric.
Wait a minute.
You sound way too thought out on this whole thing.
Blunt force trauma with a hammer almost sounds more barbaric than a hatchet.
Okay. My theory, it was this little baby.
1310,
it was
hammer little or hatchet?
Baby bird that had been torn up by a dog, and it was suffering. Yeah. And it's ripped to pieces and it's suffering. And so I'm trying to figure out, well, I don't want this thing to suffer. It's not going to live. And most people just walk away from it because they just, I'll just let it suffer. As long as I'm not looking at it suffering,
the right thing, but
and it's not in the world anymore.
But not you. You pull out the hatchet.
I had to actually go find a hatchet.
See, that's even, how premeditated is that?
It's not premeditated. If I'm having to go find it, that means it's not handy. It's the opposite of it. But to add to the creepiness factor is I felt bad this thing is suffering, so I'm racing to get the hatchet. So it makes, you could misinterpret it as a sense of real urgency to get it done, which, because I just needed the full release.
You just needed to see some blood quickly.
Honey, what are you doing? I'm looking for a hatchet. There's a baby bird out
there. There's a hatchet around here somewhere.
Been waiting years for this chance.
Yeah, so my thought was that the guillotine method is the most humane there in that case.
Did you get it on the first strike? Clean?
They probably had to take three swings at it.
I know probably what George would have done. George would have taken the hatchet and at the last second flipped it over before he could blunt force it.
Yeah. Probably.
Because that's what you prefer.
That's better.
That's not better.
Or just wringing its neck. What about that? That's how you put birds in the field out of their
misery. It's so small. You don't understand how small this is. It's a baby bird.
Then how do you hit it with a hatchet if it's that small?
Because it's precision.
Uh-huh.
I love the stories of all...
I hate that we led into this somehow.
All the animals you've killed.
That's not all the animals I've killed.
Oh, yeah. I saw the
silhouettes. Why do I take it in the shorts for doing the morally right thing and not allowing them to suffer?
Please, Gordo's Corner today, tell the stories of all the animals you've killed.
There's nothing you love more than trauma farming.
Yeah, coming from you.
That's the ODEC, 634 here on the ticket.
And I'm having to hose down the back of this Blazer the best I can and squeegee out the water. This rust color water that's coming out of there. And once again, if some midnight jogger dude comes by 2:30 in the morning as I'm hosing out the back of a vehicle with blood all over it.
Amazing. And then why did you chop a bird's head off with a hatchet?
So I was looking after a family member's dog, and they went out and they were playing with something in the backyard. And I was thinking, oh, it's probably one of the little dog's toys. So I go, hey, come on over here, Frisky. Bring it here, Frisky. What you got there? Here, I'll throw it for you. Play a little fetch. And it comes over and drops its toy in front of me, and it's a struggling baby bird who's got just puncture wounds, got canine puncture wounds, and it's up under its wing. And it's struggling. I'm like, dang it. I mean, it was a little bird, too. And so then I had to scramble and find a hatchet.
Did the dog tell you to go get the hatchet? Hey, go get the hatchet.
No. So we weren't working together in this.
Let's finish this thing.
How'd you line it up and get a clean chop, or did you?
You had to thumb and forefinger out the neck to where you get a good stretch.
You did?
No way.
Fearful I'd hit my own fingers. Put it on a hard surface, had to put it on the brick patio. Why are you making me relive this? So troubling.
You beheaded that baby bird
just once, or did you have to chop a few times?
The hatchet was a little dull.
Oh, gosh. Should have wrung its neck.
I'm telling you, George, it was so small. Wringing things' necks. I've done that with dove hunting, and I'm done with that. So sad.
All right, tomorrow at this time, you'll tell us the story of Half Cat and all the other animals that
you've put
down. I
had nothing to do
down.
With Half Cat. I just discovered Half Cat.
Hey, thank you for telling all those stories. I know it's very cathartic for you.
It's not cathartic. It's like this is going to stay with me for a few months now because of you. Because you love hearing these things. You get whatever weird sexual charge you get out of this.
It's not sexual, but they are wildly entertaining. And it's funny to picture you in all these scenarios.
Keeps happening. Fine. I'm going to start being the guy who just walks away when an animal's suffering. You happy? Will that make you happy?
No, because that hurts our content on the show.
Y'all have never run into an animal that was dying.
I've had to do that before, too. It's terrible.
What did you do?
He ran over a duck three times.
Wait, what?
Whoa, what?
I've told y'all that before.
Stop the music.
I ran over a duck accidentally. And he was back.
Wait, you ran over it accidentally three times?
No, once, and then I did the same thing. I had to back over him and then go back forward again because he was still moving. Yeah, it's terrible. But that was the right thing to do.
You hear that bill crunch? And
yeah. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, and she thought I was a big jerk. It's terrible.
Yeah, because you can't explain it to the other person. They never quite understand this idea of putting it out of its misery. Yeah. Oh, P1s have sent in emails. You ought to hear some of their stories. They're worse than mine. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
Yes, I'd love it. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. That might be interesting.
It is weird how he's ghoul.
You are a ghoul.
All right, that's the corner.
I can't tell you how many emails I got from P1s who had to dispatch animals like I have. I am not alone in the mercy killing of injured animals. Although I feel alone on this show because I've... Actually, George, you admitted that you took care of a duck once.
Yeah, a duck, and tried to take care of a bird that was obviously a pet. Some sort of, I don't know,
peacock. Cockatiel or something.
Something.
Peacock?
I don't know, whatever. No, let's say peacock?
Yeah.
No, not a peacock. that was injured in our garage by our cats.
Uh-oh.
And I went to get the shovel and... was told, no, no, no.
And but so, you did it anyway?
No. We tried to take it to some sort of bird sanctuary that didn't, but they weren't open, so we had to wait till the next day. So
it was dead in the morning.
Yeah, didn't make it through the night. Mm.
Well, I won't read all these emails. Some of them are so disturbing. I mean, they're hilarious in the way they're written, but they're very disturbing. But get this one here from P1 Sharon. She says, when we were kids, we had a German shepherd named Duchess. One of you guys had a dog named Duchess.
I did. My parents did, a boxer. After I went to college, they got a boxer named Duchess.
Well, this German shepherd named Duchess was so gentle and sweet to us kids. However, Duchess had a bloodthirst for other smaller dogs. One day she got into the neighbor's yard behind us and ate their small dog.
Wow.
When she brought some of the carcass back, my dad did the right thing and drove over to the neighbor's house to explain and apologize.
Could you imagine having to do that?
Oh, the neighbor was, of course, upset, but agreed to let my dad buy them a new dog. Unfortunately, as my dad left and was backing his car down the neighbor's driveway, he felt a sudden, dreaded bump under one tire. He ran over the guy's cat.
Oh
my God.
While backing out of the driveway from delivering the news about their dog.
Oh.
So my poor dad had to get out of his car, walk back up to the door, ring the doorbell, and tell the same neighbor that, by the way, here's your cat, too. What a maniac they must think her father is.
That sounds like something you would have done.
Would have done? Why would I have done that?
No, it just sounds like stories with animals you fall into.
So would you start off or end with, hey, what are the odds?
I think you start with that. That's your lead-in.
That's your opening line.
Hey, I have, and this the ending of this is going to be kind of disturbing, but the first part is, this is a crazy thing that just happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, the odds against this must have been.
You know how you guys have a cat, too? Well, you don't anymore. So thank you, Sharon, for that. This guy came to us from Steven. He said, I was working deep in the Oregon woods. I was doing some logging a few decades ago. He said, I drove up on a coyote with his back paw caught in a foothold trap. And the coyote looked exhausted and near dead. I hate trapping, and since there was no way I could release it by myself, I thought it would be best to put the coyote out of its misery. I reached back to the gun rack for my rifle, only to realize that I had left it at home after cleaning it the night before. Undaunted, I grabbed my short-handled truck shovel and was sure that I could dispatch the nearly dead coyote who was trapped on a 6-foot chain staked to the ground. I swear, I tried to club that coyote 50 times.
God.
But faced with death, the coyote rallied, and I never got close to hitting it. So he keeps swinging at it. Steve is swinging at it, and the coyote's dodging it. He's ducking each swing. Thinking I needed a longer club, I used the shovel to cut off the branches from a fallen 6-foot-long tree limb, and I tried again. I'm sure I looked like a character from Gladiator as I swung the long, heavy weapon, but it kept dodging the blows again and again. I never touched it. So now I'm really exhausted, and we stood and stared at each other what seemed like an eternity. Finally, I climb into my 4x4 truck, and even though the coyote was staked next to a cut bank, I tried to run over my new nemesis.
Wow.
Multiple times.
God.
Unbelievably, I could never hit him with my tires. The coyote kept ducking between the tires or outside the tires.
Bruce Willis and Die Hard just rolling over and avoiding.
Eventually, I got out of my truck, walked back and to the beast and tipped my hat. And he returned the gesture with a knowing nod, and I drove away. But that coyote still haunts my dreams decades later.
Why didn't he try to... Did he open the trap when he was before he drove away?
No, he said that he couldn't. He didn't have the equipment to get that thing open. And plus, you're going to get that close to a coyote.
Yeah, they may bite you.
That's
at that point,
injured. You can't do that.
Have you seen those videos of people letting animals out of traps, though? Like even like a bobcat, and they have to fight that whole thing, but somehow they get them out?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd mess with that. Yeah. An animal in a trap is dangerous.
Is there a point where the animal doesn't want your mercy killing that you just say, fine, you're the expert in this area?
Yeah, obviously what Steve did, I mean, he said, you know, that the coyote rightfully fought him to a draw, he won his life back.
Even though he was suffering.
Yes.
That's the way he wanted it.
Jeremy says, hi, Musers. Great show like always, and great corner with Gordo's animal stories. I think my favorite Gordo animal story, though, is when he rescued a dog from its own front yard and then frantically searched for his owners. Yes. I'd love to hear that one recounted. I have no idea what Jeremy's talking about on that.
That's the best Gordo story ever.
No, I disavow that. Why have I had so many weird run-ins with animals?
There's some weird vortex that you you pull in all these weird animal moments.
Saw me or not, but they were in a position to see me.
It was the same woman.
What is that guy's deal?
that property that I lived on the corner there, they had another uncomfortable incident with that one, because driving nearby at night, I was driving in that neighborhood and the car in front of me hits a dog, and they just drove off, left this dog, and this is like at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and I get out and try to help this dog. I mean, it was really injured. I put it in the back of this. I had a Bronco kind of thing at the time, or a Blazer. I think it was a Chevy Blazer. Put it in the back of the Blazer, and I'm driving around on the phone trying to get a 24-hour vet's office. Finally, find one. It's in Oak Lawn. I drive over to that. And I get there, and like the dog's whimpering in the background the whole time. It was just disturbing all over. Get to the vet's office, 24-hour vet's office, open up the back tailgate, and the dog's head just kind of falls out limp, and it had passed away as I got there. And anyway, give that to the vet's office and get the collar of the dog and go and talk to the people. Had to go through that whole scene. But so now it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. And I parked the Blazer on the side street over there in the same location where I'd killed that starling. And it's 2:30 in the morning, and it was like I had to park on the side street because it was the only place where my hose could reach, because there's just blood all over the back of this Blazer. And
middle of the night.
And so I pull out, yes, and I get the hose, and I'm having to hose down the back of this Blazer the best I can and squeegee out the water, this rust color water that's coming out of there. And once again, some midnight jogger dude comes by 2:30 in the morning as I'm hosing out the back of a vehicle with blood all over it.
Amazing. And then why did you chop a bird's head off with a hatchet?
So I was looking after a family member's dog, and they went out and they were playing with something in the backyard. And I was thinking, oh, it's probably one of the little dog's toys. So I go, hey, come on over here, Frisky. Bring it here, Frisky. What you got there? Here, I'll throw it for you. Play a little fetch. And it comes over and drops its toy in front of me, and it's a struggling baby bird who's got just puncture wounds, got canine puncture wounds, and it's up under its wing, and it's struggling. I'm like, dang it. I mean, it was a little bird, too. And so then I had to scramble and find a hatchet.
Did the dog tell you to go get the hatchet? Hey, go get the hatchet.
No. So how did we weren't working together
let's
in this.
Finish this thing.
How'd you line it up and get a clean chop, or did you?
You had to thumb and forefinger out the neck to where you get a good stretch.
You did?
No way.
Fearful I'd hit my own fingers and put it on a hard surface. Had to put it on the brick patio. Why are you making me relive this? So troubling.
You beheaded that baby bird
just once, or did you have to chop a few times?
The hatchet was a little dull.
Oh, my gosh. Should have just wrung its neck.
I'm telling you, George, it was so small. Ringing things' necks. I've done that with dove hunting,
I'm done with that.
So sad.
All right, tomorrow at this time, you'll tell us the story of Half Cat and all the other animals.
I had
that
nothing
you put
to do
down.
With Half Cat. I just discovered Half Cat.
Hey, thank you for telling all those stories. I know it's very cathartic for you.
It's not cathartic. It's like this is going to like stay with me for a few months now because of you. Because you love hearing these things. You get whatever weird sexual charge you get out of this.
It's not sexual, but they are wildly entertaining. And it's funny to picture you in all these scenarios.
Fine. I'm going to start being the guy who just walks away when an animal's suffering. You happy? Will that make you happy?
No, because that hurts our content on the show.
Y'all have never run into an animal that was dying?
I've had to do that before. It's terrible.
What did you do?
He ran over a duck three times.
Wait, what?
Whoa, what?
I've told y'all that before.
Stop the music.
I ran over a duck accidentally, and he was back there.
Wait, you ran over it accidentally three times?
No, once, and then I did the same thing. I had to back over him and then go back forward again because he was still moving. Yeah, it's terrible. But that was the right thing to do.
You hear that bill crunch?
Yeah. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, and she thought I was a big jerk. It's terrible.
Yeah, because you can't explain it to the other person. They never quite understand this idea of putting it out of its misery. Yeah. Oh, P1s have sent in emails. You ought to hear some of their stories. They're worse than mine. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow.
Yes, I'd love it. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. That might be interesting.
It is weird how he's
ghoul.
Into it.
You are a ghoul.
All right, that's the corner.
I can't tell you how many emails I got from P1s who had to dispatch animals like I have. I am not alone in the mercy killing of injured animals. Although I feel alone on this show because I've... Actually, George, you admitted that you took care of a duck once.
Yeah, a duck, and tried to take care of a bird that was obviously a pet. Some sort of, I don't know, peacock.
Cockatiel or something.
Says something.
Peacock?
I don't know, whatever. Let's say peacock?
Yeah.
No, not a peacock. that was injured in our garage by our cats.
Uh-oh.
And I went to get the shovel and... was told no,
and but so you did it anyway.
No, we tried to take it to some sort of bird sanctuary that didn't, but they weren't open, so we had to wait till the next day. So
it was dead in the morning.
Yeah, didn't make it through the night. Mm.
Well, I won't read all these emails. Some of them are so disturbing. I mean, they're hilarious in the way they're written, but they're very disturbing. But get this one here from P1 Sharon. She says, when we were kids, we had a German shepherd named Duchess. One of you guys had a dog named Duchess.
I did. My parents did, a boxer. After I went to college, they got a boxer named Duchess.
Well, this German shepherd named Duchess was so gentle and sweet to us kids. However, Duchess had a bloodthirst for other smaller dogs. One day she got into the neighbor's yard behind us and ate their small dog.
Wow.
When she brought some of the carcass back, my dad did the right thing and drove over to the neighbor's house to explain and apologize.
Could you imagine having to do that?
Oh, the neighbor was, of course, upset, but agreed to let my dad buy them a new dog. Unfortunately, as my dad left, and was backing his car down the neighbor's driveway. He felt a sudden, dreaded bump under one tire. He ran over the guy's cat.
Oh, my God.
While backing out of the driveway from delivering the news about their dog.
Oh.
So my poor dad had to get out of his car, walk back up to the door, ring the doorbell, and tell the same neighbor that, by the way, here's your cat, too. What a maniac they must think her father is.
That sounds like something you would have done.
Would have done? Why would I have done that?
No, it just sounds like stories with animals you fall into.
So would you start off or end with, hey, what are the odds?
I think you start with that. That's your lead-in.
That's your opening line.
Hey, I have, and this the ending of this is going to be kind of disturbing, but the first part is, this is a crazy thing that just happened to me.
Yeah. I mean, the odds against this must have been.
You know how you guys have a cat, too? Well, you don't anymore. So thank you, Sharon, for that. This guy came to us from Steven. He said, I was working deep in the Oregon woods. Doing some logging a few decades ago. He said, I drove up on a coyote with his back paw caught in a foothold trap. And the coyote looked exhausted and near dead. I hate trapping, and since there was no way I could release it by myself, I thought it would be best to put the coyote out of its misery. I reached back to the gun rack for my rifle, only to realize that I had left it at home after cleaning it the night before. Undaunted, I grabbed my short-handled truck shovel and was sure that I could dispatch the nearly dead coyote who was trapped on a 6-foot chain staked to the ground. I swear, I tried to club that coyote 50 times.
God.
But faced with death, the coyote rallied and I never got close to hitting it.
Wow.
So he keeps swinging at it. Steve is swinging at it and the coyote's dodging it. He's ducking each swing. Thinking I needed a longer club, I used the shovel to cut off the branches from a fallen 6-foot-long tree limb, and I tried again. I'm sure I looked like a character from Gladiator as I swung the long, heavy weapon, but it kept dodging the blows again and again. I never touched it. So now I'm really exhausted, and we stood and stared at each other for what seemed like an eternity. Finally, I climb into my 4x4 truck, and even though the coyote was staked next to a cut bank, I tried to run over my new nemesis.
Wow.
Multiple times.
God.
Unbelievably, I could never hit him with my tires. The coyote kept ducking between the tires or outside the tires.
Bruce Willis and Die Hard just rolling over
yes.
and avoiding.
Eventually, I got out of my truck, walked back, and to the beast and tipped my hat, and he returned the gesture with a knowing nod, and I drove away. But that coyote still haunts my dreams decades later.
Why didn't he try to? Did he open the trap before he drove away?
No, he said that he couldn't.
He
didn't have the equipment to get that thing open. And plus, you're going to get that close to a coyote.
Yeah, they may bite you.
That's
at that point,
injured. Yeah. You can't do that.
Have you seen those videos of people letting animals out of traps though? Like. Even like a bobcat, and they have to fight that whole thing, but somehow they get them out.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd mess with that. Yeah. An animal in a trap is dangerous.
Is there a point where the animal doesn't want your mercy killing that you just say, fine, you're the expert in this area?
Yeah, obviously what Steve did, I mean, he said, you know, that the coyote rightfully fought him to a draw, he won his life back.
Even though he was suffering.
Yes.
That's the way he wanted it.
Jeremy says, hi, Musers. Great show like always and great corner with Gordo's animal stories. I think my favorite Gordo animal story, though, is when he rescued a dog from its own front yard and then frantically searched for his owners.
Yes.
I'd love to hear that one recounted. I have no idea what Jeremy's talking about on that one.
That's the best Gordo story ever.
No, I disavow that. Why have I had so many weird run-ins with animals?
There's some weird vortex that you pull in all these weird animal moments.